This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And we have all kinds of stuff. We'll get to cleaning out the United States military, which has apparently begun. Talk a little bit more about these judges, FCC stuff, get to some emails, all that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I thought maybe we should talk a little bit about Iwo Jima first, though, because it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Now, I've done this occasionally. I'm about to do it again, where I'm not sure if the Medal of Honor citation, the actual reading of it, is going to take place this segment. You may have to wait, because we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Iwo Jima first. And then we'll get to our Medal of Honor citation, our Medal of Honor hero, a legend in Marine Corps circles. And then we'll get back and talk some more politics, because all that's going pretty well. First, Iwo Jima. I haven't talked war in the Pacific for a long time. So just for the beginners, for those who have never sat in for one of these or read much about it or watched much about it. Everyone knows it was an island hopping campaign, so I won't insult your intelligence there, but it was an airfield campaign is what it was. Air power. World War II was really the first war where that air power had advanced to the point that it was the most important thing by a mile. World War I, I know there were some dogfights and things in reconnaissance planes and balloons and things like that, but World War II's where countries finally had advanced enough in flight that if you were the superior air power, you were probably going to win. It was all about getting your planes in the sky, shooting their planes out of the sky, and dropping big bombs on the enemy. So we're bouncing airfield to airfield to airfield, trying to work our way closer to Japan, which brings us to Iwo Jima. Now, I don't want to say I don't have many regrets in life, because the truth is, there's a lot of things that I've done and a lot of things I've said that I wished I hadn't. You know, so I guess I probably have plenty of regrets in life. I suppose that comes with any man of any age, if you're honest with yourself. But as far as tangible things go that I really kick myself for, here's one for you. When I was in the Marines, we had to go do a six-month deployment in Okinawa, just training, obviously. This is a very standard thing. I'm pretty sure they still do it today. Every 2 years, you had to do 6 months of every 2 years deployed somewhere. And they'd send some guys to Australia, and they'd get to hang out with the Australian girls. We got to go to Okinawa. Lovely place, I should know. It was nice. But at Okinawa, they offered us something, and these things did not come often. You don't get very many bennies if you're in the Marines, at least you didn't back then, but they offered us a day trip to Iwo Jima one day. You could go down to Iwo Jima. It was, I want to say 600-700 miles. So, I mean, it's a ways, but you're flying. Obviously, you're not going to paddle there. But it was an all-day thing. And, of course, it was on a weekend. And I was probably 19, 20 years old. Young idiot Jesse would rather, I took a day off instead of going to Iwo Jima. And I even hated myself for it at the time. Like, I knew it was what I should do. Guys got back from Iwo Jima, some of the toughest Marines I knew, told me they cried when they were there. I just hated myself for it. Anyway, so I've never been. But they all gave me the same story that you can get from a Google image search on your phone. It's just, it's like you're on the moon. It is a barren hellscape of volcanic rock. It's an absurdly active volcano where there are, you can smell sulfur all over the place. It's barren, not some tropical paradise, black volcanic sand that you sink into. It really, honestly, you ever seen the Lord of the Rings movies or read the books if you're a huge nerd? I tried to read the books. I didn't like them. Anyway, you ever seen those movies? Mordor? That's what Iwo Jima looks like. Just black, dark, smoky, horrible. But Iwo Jima was in a critically important place, and we wanted it. It had an airfield we wanted that was for our super fortress planes to keep bombing Japan. They had a place to land, things like that. So we had to take it. The Japanese not only knew we were coming for it, they knew we were coming for it far enough ahead of time that they had time to bring in their finest, or one of their finest, defensive generals to turn Iwo Jima into a nightmare. And keep this in mind. The Japanese did not think they could stop us from taking Iwo Jima. They knew they were all going to die. All of them knew they were going to die. In these guys' minds, they were trying to delay the invasion of their homeland. They thought we were coming to invade their homeland, and frankly, they weren't really wrong about that. They were worried about their wives, their sisters, their children. They wanted to delay us long enough and die on that island. So you're not only coming up with fortifications, you have time to come up with them. You have the general that knows what he's doing, and everyone on the island knows they're going to die, and yet they're there anyway. And if you do, unless you're driving, you can do this if you'd like, pull up an image of Iwo Jima, you will see a 500-some-foot, if I remember right, mountain. They call it a mountain, more of a hill, called Mount Suribachi in Iwo Jima. You cannot miss it. If you look up a picture of Iwo Jima, you will see it. It's the only thing sticking up there. Inside of Mount Suribachi to this day are thousands and thousands and thousands of dead Japanese soldiers. Did you know that? They made that mountain a honeycomb of fortifications because it's essentially just hard rock. So they made tunnels with rail lines and everything else, caves and interconnected stuff. It had ventilation, you name it. It had it inside of Iwo Jima, not on it. They had learned you don't ever want to be on something because American naval power, American air power is just going to bomb you right off the top of wherever you're at. So they go in it. They burrowed inside of it. And we couldn't clear out lots of that mountain. And so I'm kind of fast forwarding to the end. You already know how the story goes, but we would simply blow closed the entryways to tunnels and caves and leave them in there. And they would just die in there. And it was supposed to be, I've never been, 130 degrees inside of the caves. And the gas can get so strong from the earth. Like I said, it's an active volcano. It can kill you. Imagine having the cave entrance blown closed, and that's how you die. 130 degrees. Anyway, so the Japanese were in it. They knew we were coming. And on day one of Iwo Jima is as horrific as any day in the history of the United States Marine Corps, because they decided this time to smartly, don't try to stop them from landing on the beach. You're not going to be able to stop them from landing on the beach. Let them land on the beach. Have all your artillery sighted in on the beach. Wait till they're all stacked up like sardines and start dropping arty on them. And that's what they did to our boys on D-Day in Iwo Jima. The stories, the books you read will break your freaking heart about what a horrible place that was. But then after that, after D-Day, we had to go clear out an island. It was a lot more than just Mount Suribachi. That was part of it. An island that had been prepped. Pillboxes. Bunkers. They took their tanks. They knew their tanks couldn't stop ours, so they simply buried them and just left the turrets above the ground. It's crazy the stuff they did. And that brings us to one Donald Jack Rule. In the Marine Corps, He is a legend. Maybe you've never heard of his name. You will remember his name after this. Now, I do need to do what I've promised you I'm going to start doing and let you know that Jack Rule, Donald Jack Rule, is from Montana, a little place called Columbus, Montana, very small town, even to this day. We used to play them in basketball, even though they were a couple hours away. Small Columbus, Montana, grew up, worked as a farmhand, and then, like patriotic boys were doing at the time, 1942, America's at war, that's what I gotta go do. Donald Jack Rule goes down, joins the United States Marine Corps. Bounces around a little bit, ends up in doing some fighting in Bougainville, but finds himself in the 28th Marines, 5th Marine Division, finds himself on the hellscape of Iwo Jima. And we'll talk about what he did next. Next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and we are finishing up Medal of Honor Monday. In case you just now tuned in, maybe you missed the first segment of this hour. I actually did not read the citation first. I gave just a little 10-minute kind of history background on how we ended up on Iwo Jima and what it was like on Iwo Jima. So now, without further ado, let's read the Medal of Honor citation for a Donald Jack Rule, United States Marine Corps.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
And just to let you know, there are a couple things in here I'm going to clarify once it's done, okay? For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as a rifleman in an assault platoon of Company E, 28th Marines, 5th Marine Division, in action against enemy Japanese forces on Iwo Jima, Volcano Islands, from the 19th of February to the 21st of February, 1945. Quick to press the advantage after 8 Japanese had been driven off or had been driven from a blockhouse on D-Day, PFC Rule single-handedly attacked the group, killing one of the enemy with his bayonet and another by rifle fire in his determined attempt to annihilate the escaping troops. Cool and undaunted as the fury of hostile resistance steadily increased throughout the night, he voluntarily left the shelter of his tank trap early in the morning at D-Day plus one and moved out under a tremendous volume of mortar and machine gun fire to rescue a wounded Marine lying in an exposed position approximately 40 yards forward of the line. Half pulling and half carrying the wounded man, he removed him to a defilated position, called for an assistant and a stretcher, and, again running the gauntlet of hostile fire, carried the casualty to an aid station some 300 yards distant on the beach. Returning to his platoon, he continued his valiant efforts, volunteering to investigate an apparently abandoned Japanese gun emplacement 75 yards forward of the right flank during consolidation of the front lines, and subsequently occupying the position throughout the night to prevent the enemy from repossessing the valuable weapon. Pushing forward in the assault against the vast network of fortifications surrounding Mount Suribachi the following morning, he crawled with his platoon guide to the top of the Japanese bunker to bring fire to bear on enemy troops located on the far side of the bunker. Suddenly, a hostile grenade landed between the two Marines. Instantly, PFC Rule called a warning to his fellow Marine and dived on the deadly missile, absorbing the full impact of the shattering explosion in his own body and protecting all within range from the danger of flying fragments, although he might easily have dropped from his position on the edge of the bunker to the ground below. An indomitable fighter, PFC Rule rendered heroic service toward the defeat of a ruthless enemy, and his valor, initiative, and unfaltering spirit of self-sacrifice in the face of almost certain death sustain and enhance the highest traditions of U.S. Naval service. And he gallantly gave his life for this country. Rest in peace, brother. Just a couple quick things. A tank trap, for those who may not know, it's just a big ditch. You carve out, you have to cut it out a certain way, but you're essentially, it's exactly what it sounds like. But you are safe when you're in it, at least from the steel flying over your head. That's what he left to go get. Another little tidbit they failed to mention in the citation, that Japanese bunker he occupied and spent the night in forward of his position because he didn't want the Japanese to get in there, it wasn't empty when he entered it. When he entered it, he found a Japanese soldier who disagreed on who should reside in the bunker. And he killed him with his knife. He knifed the Japanese soldier, killed him after hand-to-hand combat, and then left him laying there and spent the night beside the Japanese guy he killed with his K-bar. What a beast of a human being. And there were so many medals handed out on Iwo Jima because the fighting was so ferocious. Everything was a blockhouse. Everything was concrete. Everything was mortars and artillery. And again, it's hot and it's Iwo Jima sounds like hell on earth, and guys like that are what built this country. So respect to them. All right, it's enough of that. Let's get back to talk some politics, shall we? Maybe even do some emails. Let's first bring up this Trump birthright citizenship executive order is blocked by a third federal judge. All right, we're going to expand on that in just a moment. Before we get to that, I know right now your testosterone levels are through the roof because you just heard about an American hero. But sadly, once that all that Marine Corps washes off of us, we go back to being a country that's losing our T. We are, badly. We're losing our testosterone. We've lost 50% of it in 50 years. And it's not because you're lazy or stupid or feminine or worthless. It's because we drink estrogen. It's in the water now. It's in the plastics now. You freaking wake up and shower in estrogen every morning, and we wonder why we're losing our T levels. You want to change that? Without drugs? No drugs. How about natural herbal supplements turning your life around, changing your life? You know how many emails I get from guys telling me their energy's through the roof because they started taking a male vitality stack from Chalk? Ladies, same thing. Female vitality stack from Chalk. Just full of energy, full of focus, better mood, better life. You want your life to be better? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Go. Feel better. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a wonderful Medal of Honor Monday. Getting back to politics here. We'll do some emails and things. I want to talk about this really quickly, though, because everyone's up in arms about the judges keep stepping in and blocking all the things Trump's doing. Trump steps in, or judge steps in and drops the birthright citizenship thing that Trump had done. You know, Trump had said, you're not an American citizen just because you happen to be born here to an illegal. That doesn't work. Yeah, the judges keep stepping in. Well, this goes back to what we talked about throughout the show about the system they've spent years building in this country. Year after year after year after year, when a Democrat gets an opportunity, when a communist gets an opportunity, they try to cement their power and prevent any future attacks on said power. Do you remember? We didn't talk a ton about it. In fact, I'm not even positive I mentioned it during his 4 years of his presidency, but you probably heard others, or at least you saw a headline about Joe Biden and all the judges he was appointing. Just judge after judge after judge after judge, just on, at an unbelievable pace. And of course, it wasn't Joe Biden. It was the dirty communists around him. Joe doesn't know anybody's name, including his own. But just pushing through all these communist judges. Why would he do such a thing? In preparation for exactly this. Remember the AOC clip, the little flashback? This was her before the election.
I do not want to do 4 more years of resistance nonsense under Donald Trump, okay?
As soon as the other side takes any power at all, the communists will do everything in their power to throw sand in the gears. And this comes in a variety of forms, keep in mind. The government employees from inside the government, how many cases of defiance have we already talked to you about? Remember the Treasury Department guy? He's just like, nah, I'm not firing anybody. And we're all, wait, what? The FEMA guy? Or gal, whoever it was? FEMA? Huh? FEMA? No. FEMA would never give money to illegals. Well, I want to give money to illegals. So sometimes it's just defiance from within the government. Sometimes, oftentimes, they use judges. That's why the Biden administration was so adamant about packing as many courts as they could and filling them up with judges. This way, it slows down any advance from the right. Even if this stuff gets overturned by the Supreme Court, and a lot of it will, like I said, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot bad on some of this stuff. The Supreme Court's probably going to shoot them down completely. But even if they do, when's the Supreme Court going to make that ruling? Tomorrow? No. Next day? No. I don't even know. Neither do you, because it's not even on the schedule yet. That's more days they can try to run out the clock and get through the 4 years trying to mitigate as much damage as Donald Trump can do to their agenda. That is the idea. That's why they're all screaming every day, we have to resist, we got to be in the streets. That's how they operate. Now, some are more desperate than others, and you should probably keep your eyes open for the communist in your life who may lose his mind. This is Dr. Steve Cottle. He's at the Reverend Baptist Church in Tennessee. Remember how I told you they took over a bunch of institutions? It wasn't just the government ones.
And in this nation, I'm worried that we are on the verge of bloodshed. This is an attempt to take us back to a day that we do not want to go and we will not go.
Keep in mind, just what he's describing right now is defunding these crazy foreign aid programs. You hear how I just described them? They're trying to take us back to a day where we didn't send money to trannies overseas. We can't abide by that. Why would he fight for that so hard?
Therefore, there will be conflict. I pray that the peace of God will win out and overcome the madness that is attempting to take over this nation. And I will say to you, beloved, no one likes violence, but sometimes violence is necessary. When Elon Musk forces his way into the United States Treasury and threatens to steal your personal information and your Social Security check, there is a possibility of violence. Sometimes the devil will act so ugly that you have no other choice but to get violent and fight. Well, someone might say, now, Reverend, you shouldn't be talking about violence. This isn't the Christian thing to do. Well, I will say, why not talk this way? Because Jesus did. Jesus said,
you didn't think the institutions they marched through were only government institutions, did you? You see, they've done a tremendous amount of work in the church. Did you know that? Black churches across this country, not all of them by any stretch, but the Black Liberation Theology churches, of which I'm sure this is one of them, many, many, many of them are simply another arm of the Communist Party. That moron right there He's out there leading the flock astray, telling them it's the word of God because Elon Musk is cutting government spending. They took over that institution too, but it's not just the black churches either. So many of these Protestant churches and Catholic branches and things like that. How many of these NGOs are Catholic NGOs? The communists marched through the religious institutions too, marched through them, took them over, and now uses them as a tool for his purposes. Anyway, back to our discussion. They are trying to run out the clock. That's the idea behind all this. Resist, resist, resist. 4 years of this. This is why the communist is not concerned with popularity. And you can tell because they're running on the news defending the indefensible.
This isn't just funding a kid's show for children, millions of children in countries like Iraq. It's a show that helps teach values, helps teach.
He's not concerned with popularity. He's concerned with power. And as soon as he gets power, he goes all gas, no brakes, not a concern in the world. Destroy, 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 destroy as fast as possible. And as soon as the power is taken from him, that's where we are right now, he will dig in his heels and do the best he can to ensure you can't go anywhere. That's why you have to be so vicious with the communist. You must be aggressive with him. You cannot be just live and let live. You must bring them to heel. The second you sniff any kind of resistance from anybody, fire them all. Overfire them. If you're getting resistance from one department of, let's say, the IRS, don't spend 6 months trying to figure out the specific person who was involved. Fire every single freaking one of them and have security escort them out the door. The communist only understands fear and pain, and there's nothing else you're going to do to him to get him to change his mind. Absolutely nothing at all. These people see themselves as warriors for the cause of the revolution. You want an example? Let me introduce you to Caitlin Collins. She was on with Seth Meyers. Listen to this accidental admission about journalists.
It is insane. And I think everyone is kind of like readjusting and re-remembering what it was like 4 years ago, pre-4 years ago. I remember when Biden first took office in January, the New York Times wrote the story about how quiet the weekends were because for reporters, every weekend had just been like it was like a 7 day work week. And now we're back to that basically where yeah. It's just essentially nonstop every day. You kind of wake up like not knowing what you're going to be doing, what the schedule.
Does she know what she just said? We had to pretend to be journalists for every second Trump was in office. Then Biden got in and oh man, we got to kick up our feet again. But now they're part of the resistance, too. That's why we get now speaking truth to power after they had a nice 4 year vacation. All right, let's do some emails before we get to the military stuff. Before we get to that, know what we used yesterday? Twice. The Obliterator. Greatest blender ever. I just love the name. I'm sorry. It's the greatest blender ever. It has AutoSense technology, and I just love the name. And Ob keeps getting mad at me because that's the only thing, only way I'll refer to it in the house. I never call it the blender. I always say, get the obliterator. She says, Jesse, I'm going to make us a smoothie. And I say, in the obliterator? But yesterday, it got a twofer, you see, because we had to blend some things up for the Super Bowl party we went to and Super Bowl and a superfood smoothie in the morning. I've never, ever had a blender I like this much in my life. Freaking thing is built like a tank. I'm so tired of buying garbage, aren't you? I'm so tired of buying things that fall apart in 5.5 seconds. Chefman gave us the greatest blender ever. And you can save 15% off site-wide with the promo code Jesse. CHEFMAN.com, Chefman.com, promo code Jesse. Emails next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It's been a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to some of those emails. I've been lazy, Dr. Jesse. Every morning I wake up, there's a new outrage by the communists. This morning they were locked out of the Department of Education. Maxine Waters going crazy. I laugh my butt off. Trump did say he was going after the... Look, these people, their entire world is being attacked when you go after government corruption, because government corruption is how Democrats fund themselves. If they actually are able to clean out this corruption, you are going to see so much less communist street activity in this country. Fewer protests, things like that. Remember, they make you think their numbers are greater than they are. They make you think the outrage is bigger than it is. The communist activity you've seen in this country is funded and organized. Funded and organized. Funded and organized. You don't, you really don't genuinely think there are that many people who love Hamas in America, right? You don't think there are that many people who are upset about a drug dealer dying of an overdose in Minneapolis? Do you think there were that many people actually mad about that? Of course not. Jesse, why isn't anyone talking about the people that have introduced these wasteful spending programs and those that sponsored and supported them? That's the real root of the problem. They all need exposed, no matter what party they belong to. And this brings me to something that I cannot stand. And you know, I've screamed about it for the longest time, and I will continue screaming about it. I know, just because of what I do now, I know all kinds of people on Capitol Hill. I know House of Representatives people, Senate people, not just the congressmen themselves, not just the senators themselves, chiefs of staff and communications people and things like that. I have asked, you've heard me ask them on the air. I have asked. They'll bring up some horrible thing in the bill. We've got $50 million here to go study frogs who get AIDS. And I'll ask, who put that person in? Who put that in the bill? Because someone put that in the bill. Somebody sat down, came up with that idea, typed it out, and put it into the bill. And not one time ever, and I've done this publicly and privately, not one time ever can any one of them ever give me an answer. I get general answers. I get lobbyists, K Street. I get no. A name. Somebody who put these things in the bill. Someone has a name. Someone has an address. Someone has a social security number. So I want to know the name of the person who puts this stuff in. Why is it that I can write a book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, available on paperback now at jessekellybook.com, that I can write a book and I have to put like 300 citations in the book giving you specifics on where I got this information from, and yet the laws, the rules, everything that goes into to running the United States of America, quite a bit more important than my book, nobody knows. Nobody knows. That floors me. You're right. I want to know who it is. And again, this brings me back to things like this from Bill Hagerty, Republican Senator Bill Hagerty.
Now that we start to find out some of the programs that AID has been funding, if you think about it, sex change operations in Guatemala.
Now that we start to find out? Hey, Bill, whose job did you think that was? I am curious, what would you say your role as a United States Senator is? What would you say you do here? Little Office Space quote for you there. Honestly, I can't believe it. What blows me away probably the most is he thinks that's a good news segment for him. Yeah, I can't believe the things we're finding out, as if he's just some innocent spectator. Oh, man, I'm just floored by it. It reminds me of that Mike Johnson clip. Remember that Mike Johnson clip? I played it for you a couple times where he went on some podcast. I forget who it was. Barry Weiss's podcast, something like that. Barry Weiss, I don't know how to say your name. It doesn't matter. But he goes on her podcast, and he's talking about Joe Biden's mental condition. And this is right before Donald Trump takes over. And he's sitting there as if it's just you and me at the Super Bowl party yesterday, just you and me, just chewing the fat. And he's acting like he's just some random observer. Hey, Barry, can you believe, remember this?
I cannot answer this from my constituents in Louisiana. Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, you know, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him, you know. And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order, like, you know, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing to, we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it. I know. I have the terminal, the export terminals in my state. I talked to those people this morning. This is doing massive damage to our economy, national security. It occurred to me, Barry, he was not lying to me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed. And I walked out of that meeting with fear and loathing because I thought, we're in serious trouble. Who is running the country? Like, I don't know who put the paper in front of him, but he didn't know.
You're the Speaker of the House. You're not a podcast host. Barry, I'll tell you what. I walked out of there, and I was terrified. Somebody should do something about that. Well, Mr. Speaker, you have quite a bit of power. Maybe, I don't know. I hate to talk crazy here. Maybe you could do something about that. Maybe that was information that could have and should have been brought to the American people back when we were being run by a communist cadaver for the last 4 years, carving up this country. Maybe that would have been a good idea. But these guys, man, they're just the biggest bunch of followers and losers, and it drives me crazy. I'm really happy we got Elon in there.
Now that we start to find out some of the programs that AID has been funding, if you think about it.
Now that we start to find out, you losers. By the way, what have you done to protect your retirement? You worked hard for that money. You've been putting money away, putting money away, putting money away. You're going to lose it all when the bubble goes pop? Have you ruled out the possibility they're going to make the bubble go pop? Because as I said, the system is going to push back in some way. They are. GoldCo will handle it for you. You know that, right? They've been doing this for a very long time. You can get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. We're talking about fortifying your retirement to make sure there's always something there. You might qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver right now. Call them. 855-817-GOLD, or you can go to jessielikesgold.com. Protect your money. Protect your retirement, okay? All right. We're going to make fun of a journalist. Talk about the military. Some more emails. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.